Alright, Hilchos Pesach is rather long, and I assume that everyone here gets around to learning about the Seder at least sometime in the next few weeks. So actually I cheated today. The Sifim you have in front of you are Sifim that only the Rabbanim have to learn. And the Shailas that come up with Dinim of Taruvis Chametz, or mixtures of Chametz, and they have to do really with the Lamdis. This is a set of Sifim that are corresponding to Ilkis Taruvis. Those who learn Bas Mechalav and Taruvis learn the Dinim of Bittel. And these are the Dinim Siftes, Bittel, Sifyur of Nais and Tam of Gam, and Sifyur Aleph of Chayz of Aniyar. The main halachas lamaisa and dinim, and these type of dinim for Pesach. So I'd like to learn them with you inside, and try as best we can to have a good havana of dinei chametz and the way they relate specifically to dinei taruvis, and of course nice in time of gam, the ongoing yearly tumult about medications, etc., which always seems to be a new issue, and the glue on the paper towels and all this type of stuff. So we'll go in order. We'll do Siftes first, and Sifyud, which I think is of maybe greater interest, second. Now, before we begin, I want to review the first klal of Hilchos Taruvis, the klal that has to be known by everybody. If you're going to start Hilchos Taruvis, you don't know this, you can't learn a thing. And that is that there is a difference in a taruvis, in a mixture. Let's talk about isurim. We'll get to chametz momentarily. There's a difference in the taruvis of basar and chalav, and nevela and kshera, between lach balach and yavesh biyavesh. Okay, lach balach means a mixture of two liquids. A mixture of two liquids is lach balach. And a mixture of two dry things is yavesh biyavesh. Dry means you have three steaks. One is treif and two are kosher. So that's a mixture. A mixture in yavesh biyavesh doesn't necessarily mean that you stirred it in a pot. On the contrary, it means that it stands on its own and it's part of a mixture. So the rule is, and we'll explain the rule in a minute, but yavesh biyavesh is batel b'raiv. As incredible as it seems, the halacha is if you have a treifa piece of meat and two kosher pieces of meat and they become indistinguishable, you know, a chicken's a chicken. If it's kosher or treif, it's still a chicken. So you have a portion of chicken and one is treif and two are kosher. So certainly, min ha-Torah, chad b'treif batel, you're allowed to eat all three, even though you're definitely eating treif. In a Torah, you can eat all three pieces, and all three are considered to be kosher. Now, of course, midrabanan, we have a rule of a chaticha roi l'skabed, that if it's a chashuv, a piece that the person would serve, it's not batel midrabanan. But nevertheless, if you have, again, one thing that's treif and two things that are kosher, yavesh b'yavesh, it's batel. Lach b'lach, what's lach balach? A drop of milk falls into a chicken soup. That's liquid into liquid, so you all know that's batel b'shishim. You need 60 times as much chicken soup as milk. Why? Why? Because of tam ki'ikar. Machlokes is in the Gemara, if tam ki'ikar is the Raisa, tam ki'ikar is the Rabbanan. Rashi and Chulin paskins tam ki'ikar is the Rabbanan. But we paskin tam ki'ikar is the Raisa. So that, if it gives taste, it's not batel. Now, question. What about yavesh? What about here? I talked about lach balach and yavesh biyavesh. Now, there's something called mim be'enai minai and mim be'minai. So I said if milk falls into chicken soup, it's bottle 1 in 60. That's mim be'enai minai. It's not the same taste. What happens if a drop of liquid from a tray for chicken soup? Is such a thing as a tray for chicken soup? Goyim don't make chicken soup, do they? Tray for chickens that were made in chickens. So you have a drop of tray for chicken soup that falls into kosher chicken soup. So that's min b'minai, but lach b'lach. So there the din is min ha-Torah, it's bottle. Midaraisa, min b'mina is always batal. Midrabanan, there was a gzera, min b'mina, atu min b'ein amina. So that, if it's lach b'lach, lahalacha, you always need shishim. No matter what, even min b'mina, but it's a drabanan, if it's nishbach, if it's a suffix, then it's... Midaraisa, midaraisa is batal b'raiv, batal b'raiv, and midrabanan, you need shishim, even by min b'mina. So this is the rule of thumb in Hilchis Taruvis. A person who starts Hilchis Taruvis really has to have this set of rules on his fingertips in order to start learning. Well, min b'mina is never nice and tam. You can't distinguish the taste, since the taste is the same. You can't distinguish the taste. That's why min ha'tayr is yalish. And that's the din as far as kol ha'tayr kula. What about chametz? So as you know, chametz is asa b'mashehu, but you should know that's a din drabanan. It's a din drabanan. Chametz is asa b'mashehu. Why? You may remember. Why by chametz asa b'mashehu? But there are two reasons. What? So one reason is that Chazal machmir by chametz. He says because it's chamri surai, it's a sakaris. It's chamri surai, and that's the Rambam's reason. The Mordechai's reason is because chametz is a davar sheyesh matirin. The Mordechai makes a very controversial statement. It's brought down as Yeshayim Mishulchan Aruch that chametz is davar sheyesh matirin because after Pesach it becomes mutter. Even though after Pesach it doesn't really become mutter, but it's chametz shavu'ot Pesach. But nevertheless, the deraisa dika level, the davar sheyesh matirin is the rabbanon. Anyway, he says this is davar sheyesh matirin. Be that as it may, let's learn sif text.
The matzah is also only during Pesach.
Oh, so we'll learn about that. That's very important. And let's learn the Mechaber in Siftes. Yavesh b'yavesh, avagav de bishari surim chad b'trei batal. Even though everywhere else it's batal 1 and 2, chametz b'matzah afilu be'elef loy batal. If you have a chametz tikka matzah and a pesach tikka matzah, they're not distinguishable. Even 1 in 1,000, it's not batal. V'yeshayimrim, the chametz shavu l'shari surim b'zeh. The Sia Shaimrim holds that when we're chazal geyser mibein amina. But if it's a case of chametz and matzah mixing one with the other, it's not a dover lach. So the Sia Shaimrim holds that it's shavu l'shari surim and it's batal chad b'trei, which is of course an important kula. We'll discuss it.
This is on Pesach.
We have to discuss. Is this on Pesach or even before? Before Pesach, so that we're going to have to see as well. Let's see the Mishnah Berurahs, and then we'll discuss it. Mishnah Berurah Tzadik Beis. We'll go try to go to Seder. Tzadik Beis. Yavesh b'yavesh. Ratzalai Mishnah. The Sar Prusah Shal Chametz B'tech Prusah Matzah. Ve'inei Nikr. You have one matzah which became Chametz, and it's not Nikr in the others. Deal in the Sar of Kikor B'say Kikrais. L'kuli Amalai Batal David Davah Sheva Minyan. If it's something chashuv, it's not bottle because it's a davish of minyan, and davish of minyan again midrabanan is not bottle.
You say one whole matzah
is being a bottle. I feel ube elef kumajus bar b'yayredaya. So that's the davish of minyan. He explains the sharetzi and kuf mem pirish it's aruch lamaychrei b'minyan machmas chashivu say veininim ker ba'imed. It's not sold by estimation; it's sold precisely, and therefore it's called the davish of minyan. Matzahs are sold by weight, but everyone talks about it. You know, 9 matzahs per 10 matzahs per pound, and sold by weight because just not so practical the other way. But it has a chesuni of matzahs kosher. It's very expensive. We pask in it's the, in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph where it talks about the mechaber paskins that doesn't pask in davar shebiminyan. He says only things that are very chashuv. Shmeina Devarim, Rabbi Kiva says in the Gemara, chashuv. And the Ramah says anything that's a davar shebiminyan. But the Aruch HaShulchan says there's really no machlokes, and it just means something that has that's machmas chashivusai. You know, you can go to a store, if you buy a donut, it's also sold by the piece. So what we mean to say is it has to be davar shebiminyan, which is a davar chashuv. The Gemara Rebbe Kiva counts, you know, a goyze perach and all these specific things. So we pass, and it has to be something that's machmas chashivusai. If it's just sol b'minyan, like the Gemara calls it, kol shadarkei libnais, so both ways, then it's not, then it's batal. That's in Machmas Chashivus. Yeah, I think it's just for practical reasons. It's hard to call a matzah not a davar chashuv. A matzah, we can argue about whether it is. I think it is. I said the word is chashivus. The steaks are also sold by the pound, but it's still a davar chashuv.
It's not davar chashuv.
That's a good point. The chametz tikka matzah is not a davar chashuv at all. And the pesach tikka matzah, it's especially amazing when you go and you see the machinery. They use the same ones for the pesach tikka and the chametz tikka. Although the machine matzah is not that much more expensive. Let's go in order. So we could argue if it's a davar chashuv b'minyan. For us, the important thing, as you'll see in a minute, is to know what's the raisa, what's the rabbanon. Because we're machmir on all taruvas. And nevertheless, there are times that it's sort of a ktsas nechama to know the dinim dairai. So I want to talk about it, but I want to finish the Mishnah Berurah first. So let's see Mishnah Berurah Tzadikim, a loy bottle. Kiva di im nisar of lach balach, isurei b'mashahu, gam b'yavei shichmiru. Since Chazawa machmir on lach balach, so memela, even by yavesh, according to the first shita, they were machmir. Vein chiluk bein in nisar min b'minay nisar min bein b'shein b'minay ulafize dafka kishin nisar b'pesach. This is of utmost importance. These few lines. This is dafka when it mixes on Pesach. Avalim nisar b'erev Pesach an halayla. You hear this? Even erev Pesach after chatzais. Erev Pesach an halayla. The kind of leos of beis the dinay kishari surim. In kein belach shiurai b'nois in tam kishari surim. Therefore, lach balach, it's nice and tam, like all isurim. Who had him be yavesh gam kein dinik shari surim ubatal barayv. It's an incredibly important halacha that the chumris of mashu on Pesach are on Pesach, even if you're going to eat it on Pesach. But that teruvis happened pre Pesach, then the halacha is dinik shari surim, and it's batal barayv. And we'll see in a minute the kufim dalan on the bottom. Kolak and tzurish yun echolim kulam kaidem alayla. When it's yavesh be yavesh, you have to eat them before the night. Dim lav hachi amrinan de chayzer v'niyar v'pesach nuchla osabdal v'hagot. Okay, I'll explain the din of chayzer v'niyar. So what's he saying? Erev Pesach is mukuladik, with the exception of the rule of chayzer v'niyar, which I'll tell you in a minute. Then he is, Yeshakasu de Emesai Lebati Yavish be Yavish Adea Kamaisa Dafka Kshisu Machmasatzmai. That's when it in itself is like a Chavitz Tikka Matzah, Tzasa Machmasatzmai, Yishu Chavitz. Avalam Haya Hetabatzman. Raksha Nivla by Chavitz Mashu. It only has a Blia of Chavitz. Kai Matzah Shemotsu Ba Chita Chamutza Shenefis Besaychva Nisarva Achkach Bacherais. Like you have a Matzah that has a Blia of one chita that's in it, batal chabitrei afilu toich haPesach. Aval kamach reinim cholgam hazeh. Some say daitam vildei kamaisa b'cholgam nilai batal. So therefore, the chalukei day is if it's not osa machmas atzma. It's getting a little complicated. Again, we have the din in the first chita in the mechaber of issa mashu by yavesh b'yavesh. So you have one exception if it mixes before Pesach, which you have to come back to. We have in the second possible exception if it's not Isser Atzmai, if it's only something that has a Bliya Mashu of Isser in it. Oy Kasu, the Kli Chametz Shenisar B'Sai Kli Pesach, the Pesach. What happens if you have a Kli Chametz? Now what does that mean? Most people have a separate set of silverware for Pesach. What happens if one piece of silverware of Pesach Dik became Chametz Dik? And you put it aside, there's kashayla, sometimes it floats around the house all year. And then on Pesach, it mixes back into the kelim. Dinay kama yavish bi yavish. The loy batal, according to this first shita, basal shtamish ben be Pesach. Vavkin ishtar be'erba Pesach, nochayn lahachmir, shalay yishtamish ba. It says, nochayn lahachmir. It sounds like there's a tzad kula. Achayna makli chametz, hoya eina bin yaymai, v'makam aniyas v'simchas yamtiv, Yay, Shlahakal Nisar of Erev Pesach. The case was at Eina Ben Yaime, which is always the case. So he says, sounds like it's good to be Machmir, but Mikra Din you can be Mekel. But at least in Sveikis, certainly we could be made.
Does he know which clear it is? Or
no, if he knows, it would be no Shiloh. It's 1-4, a set of 8 or a set of 16. And he can't tell which is which, and it's in a mixture. So that's the case that he's talking about.
That's the mother-in-law.
So now we get to... Okay, let's try to put together what we learned and talk about halacha l'maaseh. There's no chayzav in the air. Okay, so let me explain.
What's cool about Pesach?
What?
Why is that Pesach more cool?
Because if it's Alsis Akaris, then this Akaris is not an Erev Pesach.
Before
Pesach.
Yeah,
it's
not
Shishma Tirich. Why do
you say that?
So hold on. Let me go beside. Okay? Let's go beside. I'd like to talk about food and then about Kalim, about each one separately. Okay, first of all, my favorite Shaila is the lady who calls every year. At least one or two women call sometime during the coming week, that, and they apologize 100 times before they ask the Shaila. I can't believe it happened, you know, I'm really from, you know, like I keep Shabbos and everything, but you know, I don't know how it happened, I'm cooking for Pesach and I found that I used sometimes it's a chametz sticker thing to stir the chicken soup. There was one year that one of the local stores had the cubes, the chicken soup cubes, in the Pesach store, and it wasn't kosher Pesach. And people had bought it. I called the store after my first phone call, because I thought maybe it was kosher Pesach, I just didn't have it. And they it wasn't kosher Pesach. They had it in the stores, one of these concerts. And they tell you, always check the label. Always check the label. You know, people are people and mistakes happen. So they had these cubes and ladies had it in their chicken soup. Now, the rule is the following. Anything that happens before Pesach, lach balach, meaning in a soup, it's bottle, b'shishim, unless it's nice and tam, unless it's given there for reason, the concentrate, the cubes are nice and tam. But let's say something accidentally falls in, it's bottle b'shishim, and lach b'lach is not chayz avinir. She's allowed to serve it on Pesach.
But like
chayz avinir means the following. Okay, you have a mixture of lach b'lach, that's liquid and liquid. You have a mix of yavesh b'yavesh. What's yavesh b'yavesh? Let's say someone has chametz tikka matzah, let's say machine matzah, they look the same. You have a chametz tikka machine matzah, and Pesach tikka machine matzahs, and now you can't tell which is which. It's bottle. So there's a machlaikis here between the minig of the Svaradim and the Ashkenazim. We're machmir that on Pesach it's chayza v'nir. Meaning, it's bottle before Pesach, but it doesn't help you. Because on Pesach, chayza v'nir. Chayza v'nir means it wakes up again, so to speak. Because you see, when you have yavesh b'yavesh, it's constant that you have a chametz and you have two Pesach diks. And on Pesach, it's still a chametz and two Pesach diks. And the chayz of the year, the iser comes back. So the bittul doesn't help you too much in such a case. However, by lach balach, see, by lach balach, we say it disappeared. When a drip of milk falls into chicken soup and it dissipates in the pot, we look at it, lach balach, liquid and liquid, we look at it that it doesn't exist anymore. The bittul there is that it's non-existent. And therefore, it's not chayz of the year. So that a lady were to let a drop of chametz fall into a pot of chicken soup, and kol shkein, if she just took a keli, chametz took a kli, and stirred the chicken soup, if it's batel b'shishim, either the 60 times in the chicken soup against the spoon, or the spoon's not a ben yaymai, before Pesach, ein a ben yaymai applies to tilchus Pesach as well, then the chicken soup is mutter. Now my experience is the ladies won't use it. Mm-hmm. They really won't use it. I tell them the chicken soup is mutter, and they say, the chicken soup, like in horror. They say, Dad, I spilled that already. I wonder if I want to kasha the pot, or kasha the whole kitchen, or they have this, you know, this. Because, you know, they're horrified that chametz made its way in. So it doesn't help. I tell them, you can send me the chicken soup, you know, it doesn't do anything. But what the nafkamina is, that if you did it, don't tell her. You know, if you did it, don't tell. It's like a drop of milk falls into chicken soup, no lady's going to use it. But if you did it, just don't tell her. You know, it's fine. If she tastes it and she says, hey, this tastes funny, you're in trouble if it's wasting time. But presumably it's not going to be that way. Now, He says that halayla here. He says ad halayla. That's possible. Now, So before Pesach is possible. One more important din, and that is that Eidah ben Yaimai applies before Pesach. And you should know, on Pesach, a keli Eidah ben Yaimai asers food. A keli Eidah ben Yaimai asers food. Now, it's a serious thing. What it means is, let's say a lady is... A lot of the people are away for Yom Tov, only home Chomayah. They ask me what they have to cover, what they don't have to cover. Well, you don't have to cover anything if hot food's not going to touch it. But if you leave a part of the surface uncovered that has blias of chametz, even one blia all year, you have to be careful. If you take a latke off the thing and you drop it onto the counter, the latke becomes aser because we're machmir d'rabbanan that a ena ben yaimai asers on Pesach. That what? Even though it's pogum, with guys are ena ben yaimai ato ben yaimai even b'diyevet on Pesach. Because it's similar to samashu. That's what it says.
Is that only for Ashkenazim?
That's for Ashkenazim. Yeah. Okay. So we have this klal, and it's an important klal. So last night someone asked me about using a mixmaster he had from his mother-in-law. I wasn't using 20 years. So he wants to kasha the blades and kasha everything. So first thing I told him is to shake the vent and see if flour comes out. You know, a lot of times these things have. But I told him you're going to have a problem because even though it's cold and you're going to kasha the bowl or buy a new bowl and kasha the blades and everything, but if hot food is going to touch the outside of the keli, you know, it's likely it was washed with, came into contact with hot chametz. If it has blias of chametz, the ena ben yaimai din is a tremendous chumra b'diyevet on Pesach. Now the good news is that it does not apply before Pesach; it's only on Pesach. That both the chumra of mashu lach balach and the chumra of ena ben yaimai apply. That's only on Pesach, not before Pesach. And therefore, these two kulis, which are really a rav who's asked kitchen shilas. At least 50%, probably quite a bit more, are mutter either because it's batel b'shishim or it's ena ben yaimai all year round. You know, the keli is ena ben yaimai or it's batel b'shishim. That's sort of the catch-all heter. So those heterim don't apply on Pesach, but they do apply before Pesach. So that's as far as these dinim are concerned.
Now, at this point, you think they will apply?
No, he doesn't say anything about it. Chazais, he says that it's bottle until Ad Halayla. That's
Halayla.
The kulis apply. Okay, good. Now, here, I want to mention something. The baking of matzahs. So, the Amishi matzahs and their hand matzahs. It's quite nerve-wracking to be able to make matzahs, to make them affordable, if you could call it that, requires a certain amount of leeway. In other words, if you study the halakhas of baking matzahs very carefully, and you go to a matzah bakery, there are things that would get a person nervous. For example, the halakha is that the people rolling the matzahs are not allowed to be speaking. Now, why can't they speak? What's wrong with speaking? What's wrong with speaking is that sometimes a little saliva comes into the food. It's not an appetizing thought. But that's what happens. The saliva, that's just the human nature. You know, the psulim, when you find the psulim in the Sefer Torah, a smudge, most of the time, when you find the smudge in the Sefer Torah, it's from a little bit of saliva that came from the Balkaire. We had upstairs a psul, and the person who saved Torah was very tzabrachin. You know, it was puzzled all along. I told him, you'll see, and before I even checked, the way you could tell is you look at the back of the cloth that matches when you roll it, right? So it rolls over. I said, you'll see there's ink on the corresponding cloth on the other side. Because it happens. People speak a little bit of, you know, it says that the Chacham didn't talk to a Zav. Because when they speak, a little Reiksha Hazav would come out and touch their clothing and they'd be tame. So a little bit comes out, and then you roll the Sefer Torah over, and then the ink is water soluble, so it dissolves. The same thing, really, they're not supposed to be speaking. Now, the truth is that in most of the hand matzah bakeries, the ladies are not careful. I say ladies, there are men there too. Most of the men have a, I hope they'll listen to different Torah, but even if they're listening to something else, the men somehow seem to be able to talk less. Or maybe because all the ladies are talking, they don't get a word in on the edgewise. But the ladies tend to find it very, very difficult. That's one of the issues, of which there are a number. Now, the nechama and all that, and there's another thing. The other thing is that the matzahs are not really supposed to stand. They're not supposed to stand idly at all. They're supposed to be moved straight from the rolling to making holes into the oven. Now, it's very hard to do that, to take each matzah as soon as it's made. It's just not practical. And therefore, we're makel that when it says it shouldn't stand at all, it means it shouldn't stand for a minute, or it shouldn't stand for 45 seconds, or whatever it is. And Paiskim accept this kula. And Lamaisa, it does stand. It does stand on the table. It's true. But anyway, the point is that it's a little upsetting. However, we are noyig that we bake all our matzahs before Pesach. We don't bake matzahs on Pesach. The yeshiva world will makpid, even though we don't go for the Erev Pesach Achachatzais matzahs, which in the Chassidish world they hold as a hider. Shulchan Aruch says it's good to make it Erev Pesach Achachatzais. In the yeshiva world, we're too nervous about the Chametz Shailas to do such a thing. The Chama is that the Ikar Adin is the Chab B'Trei Batel. That even if there's a matzah there which somehow got one of these chashashes, the matzahs are Batel Chab B'Trei. And even the idea of Davar Sheben Minyan, first of all, only applies Midrabanan. Mizor in Midrabanan, but only applies Midrabanan. And secondly, it's not, as the Mishnah Berurah said, it's only if the whole matzah is chametz. If a little saliva came and a little spot is chametz, so that's not considered to be a davar sheben minyan. So that's sort of the ktsas nechama.
Why should that be a problem?
What it says in Shulchan Aruch is that saliva is mechametz miyad. What that means, I don't know. Just like we have the same idea about Meperis, if there's water, Meperis Mechametz Miyad. So I don't know what it means Miyad, and I don't know what it means Mechametz, but that's a sort of our Kabbalah. Yeah.
They always scream, Shem
Matzah
Mitzvah, they want all the
elders to scream Shem Matzah Mitzvah. Yeah, saying the Shem Matzah Mitzvah. So how are they saying the Shem Matzah Mitzvah if they're not supposed to be speaking? It's a good question. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth, we have here in the shul, we get matzahs from a matzah bakery in Williamsburg. We used to get from a different matzah bakery. But I went to a number of matzah bakeries. The only matzah bakery that I saw that has straight fruma women, from regular frum homes, was this one matzah bakery in Williamsburg. And that's why here at the shul I felt more comfortable. It's $2-3 more than the other matzahs. But I just felt more comfortable there. It's regular frum women. They don't have to say L'shem Matzah Mitzvah. They're all L'shma women. And you can see that they're from women. On the other hand, you know, you can't always see where I go with the Chabur and Tarvadas that goes. You wonder how many of them, you know, they're all, I'm not judging anyone. A Tidik Shanishba is not guilty of anything. But you wonder, how many of them, keep Pilchus Chavetz Umatzah, etc. So that's the hiddur here. What? Where?
Lakewood,
they're men only. Okay, they have to.
Really,
I guess you have to pay. What? So the Chayz of Nia is also a Din D'Rabbanan. And if it would be Vade Chametz, I wouldn't be Mekel. I'm saying that the Chametz is that at the Raisidika level, it's not an issue. The D'Rabbanan's okay, so we have these coolers. Okay. It's Yavesh B'Yavesh. Oh, I mean the little drop. I'll tell you an interesting thing. Years ago, about a dozen years ago, I must have told you about this in previous years. I was invited to the, there are two machine matzah bakeries in the United States. One is Streitz, has a relatively small bakery. And the other one is Goodman / Manischewitz / Sharetz Margaret. And it's all one company, three labels. And, I went to their to that factory. And I'm not a big expert, but I was very unhappy in what I saw. They have, it's an interesting place. And it's very, from a practical, I was just interesting, it's three stories. The top story is a place where they mix the dough. They have this gigantic vat in which falls flour and water pre-measured, mixes it, and then it tilts, and it dumps it down a chute. And it's very impressive, and it dumps it down a chute. The chute goes down to the middle floor. The middle floor is where it comes out as matzahs. Not Streitzer, never the Streitzer, it was the other bakery. Now, I want to tell you, don't walk out of the middle, this plant no longer exists, which is why I feel comfortable talking about it. But in that plant, so it went down a chute, and then it has to be made thin. It comes out, you talk about a big glob of dough, you're talking about a vat that's more than your height, you know, around the machine where it mixes, taller than a person, and quite wide, and it tilts, and it dumps it down the chute. So they have rollers that roll it out. It's all machines, it's not people. Rollers. Now the rollers, typically dough is very sticky, and dough sticks to rollers. So they have Teflon rollers, Teflon coated rollers, so no dough should stick. And the Teflon rollers roll it. It has to go through many stages. First, it's very thick. It gets thinner and thinner until it's the shape of a matzah. And you know, it goes back and forth until it comes onto the table just the right width and just the right shape. And then there's a cutter and a hole maker, all automated. And it's a moving table. The table moves all the way through the oven. It goes through the oven on a rolling table. And it comes out baked matzahs on the other side. Now, what disturbed me was that the first rollers were not Teflon. And I asked the workers, and they said the Teflon, it just didn't grip the dough enough to do the rolling trick. So they had the other rollers, which are not only not Teflon, but they're made with holes in them and lines in them. They should grip the dough better. And dough sticks to it. So they had fashioned, for a multi-million dollar place, it was mind-boggling, they had done like a Ruby Goldberg type of machine. You know Ruby? And what they did is they took a blade and with wires, like with hangers, you know, they attached it to the turning thing so that as it turned, it rubbed against the blade and the blade cleaned a lot of it off. The problem is when it cleaned it off, it fell right onto dough underneath, which to me was a little shocking. Okay, if it cleaned it perfectly and it fell, so you assume it's all within the 18 minutes. But didn't really clean it perfectly, and it was to me it was a little bit of a shocking thing, and it was upsetting. Now it's an interesting kind of place. At the end, it came out of the oven, went down a chute, fell onto a stack. You see the stack of matzahs? Nobody touches that. It falls stacked, and as soon as it's a certain weight, it goes. And the next one's full. It gets covered with plastic. Gets put into a box. Like nobody touches it when it's dough in water. Until it's in the box. So it's a very impressive place. But this thing, I started mentioning because of the lumdus. So someone asked, is a lach balach a yavish b'yavish? So I'm asking you, if a flake of dough, let's say for argument's sake it's chashash chametz, a flake of dough gets cut off that roller and falls onto dough and now it gets pressed into the dough. Nobody can find it. You can't find where it is. Is that lach balach or is that yavish b'yavish? That mixture. Pashtus is yavish b'yavish. It won't be purple. You know, you could find it. You can find it. So I don't know. The truth is, it may be halachically lach balach. It says kemach b'kemach is lach balach. Because I kemach b'kemach, and in theory it's a piece. But
it's undiscernible. I mean, you can't. Why did it?
But all yavish b'yavish is really not discernible.
But it's separate. It's a separate question.
All right, so I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Whether? Yeah, but here it's not really intermingling. It's there, but it's. It gets rolled back in, but not spread. That's why. So I'll tell you, one Friday afternoon, after this, I didn't want to make a tumult. So when I spoke in shul, I mentioned that the Kli Yisrael has a minute to use 18-minute matzahs. You should only use 18 minutes. I didn't want to say anything bad about the place. I want to get in trouble. It's nice of them to allow me to come. So one Friday afternoon, I was learning in Torah V'Das, and the building was empty except for Rebelsky was learning in his room, and I was learning in the library across the hall. And then, you know, Jack, the guy was mapping up in between. The rest of the building was empty. And Rebelsky calls me in. I sit down, and Rebelsky says to me, "I heard you were at the Matzah Bakery." So I swallowed hard, and I said, "Yes." He said, "I heard you weren't so happy." So I said, I didn't say that, something like that, you know. Like, so Rebelsky, to his credit, says, "You're right. And next year, we're going to have a whole new plant, a whole new system." He told me somebody, you grabbed a lawyer a day with me, who's going to be in charge, a certain name is Horowitz, or Horowitz is going to be in charge, and no more of this, this hanky-panky. It's the same company that has a new plant. It's a wonderful thing that, you know, Rebelsky was very forward about it. And again, the nechama is that min ha'Torah yavish b'yavish is batel chad b'tray. So even if there were a couple of matzahs that were problematic, the nechama is that not to a bes d'oraisus. Chesvini is a drabanan. And no, I don't say. I'm saying the nechama is not to a bes d'oraisus. It's a karis. It's a drabanan. You know, we're careful with the drabanans, but nevertheless, even if there was a chashash. What? If it's lach v'lach, it's not chayzav v'nir. That's what you mean? Why so? Yeah, we don't know that anything was really chametz. Yeah, we don't know that it was really chametz, you mean? Yeah, nothing else. Okay. What? Chametz, yeah, sure. Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's move on, having offended matzah bakers. Let's now go to Sifur and offend the Nisan Lutam Lutam Kim. I want to tell you, there are machine matzah bakeries that stop the machines every 18 minutes and clean them out. And that's fine. That's maybe more mohuda than the hand matzahs. Because the machine matzah, the system, seems to be a much better system than the hand matzahs. Now, see them. Who have their story with the machine matzah bakery that burnt down after Divrei Chaim Asadid, etc. That's all in the Lishma. That's all in the Kazesim of Matzah at the Seder. Has nothing to do with Matzah all Pesach. You understand the difference? The Kazayis of Maitzi Matzah and Kairech and Afi Kaimen, that has to be baked Lishma. So there was a fantastic tuvel about the fact that in a machine there's no lishma. That was at least the halachic taina. The halachic taina is it's not lishma. So when KAJ used to make machine matzahs, they had what they did is that the tchilas lisha was done by hand. The tchilas lisha was done by hand. Then it went into the lishma, and then Taisa says, and it's off of that base, that if the daschal is lishma, everything stoma continues with lishma. And Tais says by deraisis, by korbanis, that the aschol is lishma. So it was done by hand, and it went in. My wife's uncle, Rochaim Spitz, Allah Shalom, from when I knew him, two of his fingers were crippled because he used to do it, and once his fingers got caught in the machine, as it went in, and two of his fingers were perpetually bent. I mean, Baruch Hashem, he functioned well. Just when you shook his hand, you know, you felt the two fingers bent a little bit. But they did a lishma. So the tumul is really about lishma. Why none of us, many of us, will not use machine matzahs a whole Pesach, myself included. So I'm not sure. I mean, if it's not cleaned every 18 minutes, so it's taka. As the heroes, the odd place in Eretz Yisrael, they have 18-minute machine matzahs where it's cleaned in between, cleaned well, and it's a little hard to know why we're so for lishma. Okay, but for all Pesach, we don't need lishma.
No, the drug's taking the past.
So people have shmura because of the gra. Shmura means lishma, l'shem
mitzvah.
Shmura is something else. The word shmura is a separate discussion. Ushmartem esamatis, there's a din shmira.
It's about 6 minutes. It's about 6 minutes.
Okay.
It's very good. The Himatz is also not much. They're probably less than 6 minutes because they do a new kneading within the 18 minutes. They do three or four of them, so it's also about that time. But anyway, the all right, we'll talk about Shmura 7. Shmura is a separate din that you need Shemur. Shulchan Aruch says, don't do this. In Shulchan Aruch it says, you need matzahs on Pesach, you go to a guy, buy flour, and make matzahs l'shmur. It says in Shulchan Aruch, kainim kemach menakum. You're allowed to buy dough for flour from a guy. Now nowadays we don't buy flour from a guy because the flour is chametzdik. Today they bleach the flour, and even worse, to separate the sheaf, they soak it in water. So nowadays it changed, but... Alright, we're getting off the topic. Din of Shmura is really a separate thing. They don't, no. The American, none of them clean after 18 minutes. In America, when they have specially labeled boxes of Strites or it's Margaretten, 18 minute matzahs, that's the first 18 minutes every morning. In other words, they clean overnight. So the first 18 minutes in the morning, they label 18 minute matzahs. But they don't stop it after 18 minutes. The rest of the day is after. Now, they're right. You know, they cleaned it. The first 18 minutes is 18-minute matzahs. And that's how they have a small amount of the 18-minute matzahs. But in America, there are no machine matzahs I'm aware of. I think there are only two plants.
So what's the heter for Pesach,
the bittul? The heter is that it's clean. That it stays clean.
Is it not clean? Oh.
They don't clean it, but they rely. It's Teflon rollers or the... You see... The belt goes through an oven. There's no flour left on the belt. Once it goes through the oven, if anything would be there, it would be burned to mashu. They rely on that, which makes sense. But still, it's...
By the way, it's not easy. Okay. Don't use
because
they say
for a whole year? I do want you to know that in the machine matzah bakeries, today, they're producing chametz tikka matzah. The Pesach tikka matzah is already made a month ago. And there is, but that's Chom Shal Pesach that I never heard. Okay, let's see if you... What? No, what he means is, today, they're making matzahs for after Pesach. So that, they sell to a guy. That's what you mean. Yeah, of course they sell. Okay. Sif Yud. Noisein tam lefgam mutter gam bePesach. Okay, here we have again Machlekes Mechaber Ramah that argues about noisein tam lefgam. Now we're talking here. You have to know there's a difference between what we call pasche ipsha and noisein tam lefgam. Pasche ipsha is chametz that became spoiled. Pasha Ipsha is not chametz. Noisin tam lefgam means that chametz is in a taruvis, in a mixture, in a way that does not give a beneficial taste. So noisin tam lefgam mutagam bepesach, that's the shita of the mechaber, and it's a din in hilchas taruvis. Rama says yesh machmirim v'cheinayim be'elu medinais, and we're machmir that if good chametz is noisin tam lefgam in a taruvis, it's aser, even if you have the two chumras together, it's a mashu, and this is a nice time of gam, they're both aser. And Mishtabura, or in Tzadik Vav, he explains the Bechaber. In Tzadik Zion, though, he says, Yesh Machmirin, Tamam Hu, Dein Lecha Bitzel Tam Yaisim Mashu Be'alaf. Certainly, if it's a mashu, and 1,000 times as much as no taste, a filahach yasum chaber bepesach, who did not mean nice time of gam bepesach, also ba'achila u'behanah. The nafgam is also because our poiskim v'kabakim im nisad legamri. Ach yehei ka'afra ba'alma, ein ba'yisaklal. If it's totally spoiled, it's ka'afra ba'alma. It has no taste. It tastes like afar. Then ein ba'yisaklal ve'efsha afsha nisad la'achas mani surai dasa ba'anok v'ur le'elsim tomei v'kabakim eni yachalas aturuvais dezer lo'i nikra hanah demafsin amaychol. So here, this din of Nisad Lagami at Shekhafra Ba'alma is mutter, is of course the heter in most of the medications. All of the flavorless pills or powders are taste them, assuming that they have a bitter taste, which as far as I know they all have. Mutar on Pesach. You don't need lists for it. It's mutar on Pesach. The issue is primarily with liquids or with flavored medication. That's where the issues come up. Why is it a problem with liquids? Because liquids that have alcohol, first of all, liquids are always made to taste good. They always have flavoring. And even if they're not, such as deodorant, which has no flavoring, no one puts it in his mouth, it can be made roi l'achila. And liquids which have alcohol, where you can filter out the particles and get it back to a state of alcohol, so that is the primary problem with medication, with deodorants especially. There are some deodorants that are alcohol-free, but many of the deodorants are chametz problems. Year after year, the brands Sure and Secret are all non-chametz stick. They have no chametz in them at all. And there's no issue. But the issue, again, is with liquids that have alcohol, which could be chametz-based. And the issue is with flavored things, flavored medication, which has taste and which is a problem. Now, I do want to mention that the gel caps, which became popular, there are two types. They're the old-fashioned capsules, where the argument is that the gelatin is like a piece of plastic, which... those are Mekel, those are Machmir, you know. But they have today the soft gel caps, which are not like plastic, and those gel caps, I don't know why they're selling it. Nothing to do with chametz. It's an issue of treifus. And, you know, you can buy Tylenol, Advil, all these things. No, there's a soft gel cap that's sold. It has not only gelatin, but glycerin in it as well. And you shouldn't be buying those all year round. Nothing to do with Pesach. It's just Pasha and Nevelis. And you shouldn't be using it. Yeah. Why? Why is swallowing not achila? You don't taste it. So it's achila only if you taste it. That's the shaila. So I'll tell you what it says in halacha. Now here it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says two things. First of all, shaloi kederach achila. If you eat it not in the manner of eating, it's also midrabanan. But for achila, who has its mutter if there's no other alternative available. Shalaiki derech achila is mutter if there's no alternative available. Ramah says, if it's yashalis rapi by fenacher, and that doesn't have to be a chalashi esh by sakon, even aim by sakon. So if it's not available any other way, so there's a heter of shalaiki derech achila. Now Tommy is saying, if you swallow it, that's shalaiki derech achila. So the pischei tshuva brings a machlaikis to teres chayim and the night of Yehuda. He says the Noda Yehuda holds that swallowing it is considered derech achila, and it's an iser. It says a deraisa. Teres Chaim was a kadmoin. He's a pirish on many of the mesechtes and shas, including Chulin. Teres Chaim holds that it's considered shalaika derech. Now, normally Noda Yehuda and Teres Chaim, we would pass it to Noda Yehuda, but here it's a double whammy. According to Noda Yehuda, swallowing it is not a heter. Even like the Teres Chaim, that it's shalaika derech achila, and mutter b'makom chayli, the Ramah says only if it's not available in another form. And today, where it is available in regular caplets, so a person really just has to be aware of it to buy it in a caplet form, and not in these new gel cap forms. Rapam told people even the capsules not to use, which today all the antibiotics come in the capsules. Rapam used to wrap it in a tissue, I mentioned many times, before he swallowed it. And he encouraged people to do it as well. Not a whole big tissue for each thing, but just a small piece of tissue to wrap it around and to swallow it that way. But certainly the soft gel caps that they have today are things people should stay away from. But just, yeah.
And the OU book like this here at the back, it says that all the deodorants are okay. What's their
head? You have to call them. I don't know. I have no idea. Could be they check them and they don't have alcohol. But the... But the lists typically list which deodorants they know don't have alcohol. And now the deodorants, the stick deodorants are all okay because there's no shayla of chametz. The spray deodorants are where the issue comes up. So the question is, why do they have lists?
More than 2%?
Alcohol, yeah. Alcohol, I think, is... Alcohol is the back. I think it's the base from which everything. Alcohol itself is not a deodorant. It's just what they mix everything with, I think. So the where does the chumra come from with all the pills? We know Pesach we have a lot of chumras. So remember, Blumenkranz wrote a letter. It's probably reprinted every year. I don't know for sure in his booklet to explain why he has all these chumras. So you see, he writes two things. He writes, I think, a Shagas Aryeh, who has a shita that on Pesach it's a person should be machmir, should be chayshish for the that even if it's ein roi lachila, not like the Pesachim Shulchan Aruch. Secondly, he brings, I don't want to say from who, because I don't remember from who, but then on Pesach, all the heterim are only when it's not available the other way. These are not mainstream chumras, the chumras. So on Pesach, we're machmer a lot of different things, so we're machmer on this as well. Some people are machmer on this as well, but really, honestly speaking, it's not an issue. Now, I want to talk about kidneys for a few minutes, because the kidneys issue is more of an issue. I want to tell you two dinim of kidneys. And a kasha that Bochim and Mashir came on Friday with a, they thought they have a big kasha on a contradiction, two things. Aleph, kidneys, for us Ashkenazim who are machmer and kidneys, we hold as aser. And we're knowing that even derivatives of kidneys are aser, corn syrup and the like. That's the way Klal Yisrael paskin, that it's aser. People ask, today there are mixed marriages. Sephardim Ashkenazim who are married, and you go to Sephardic home, and they have kidneys. All right, so an Ashkenazi man is not going to eat kidneys, and his wife who converted to Ashkenazicite now has to follow all the chumras of the Ashkenazi, and so she's not going to eat kidneys. What about the pots? That's what people always ask. What about the pots? So Rapam said, and I tell people, it says in Kafachayim that the bliyos of an ena ben yaimai by kidneys is mutter. The bliyos of ben yaimai of kidneys were machmir. The bliyos of an ena ben yaimai were makel. So in the house, they should keep separately a pot, non-kidneys pots, and that's what they cook for the Ashkenazi guests. What about gebrochs and not gebrochs? So Rav always said that gebrochs can be mochamin the kidneys. Kidneys is a minig that goes back. The smack in the year 1200 calls it a minik admainim. Now the Mishnah says Rabbi Yechem Ben Uri made matzah from rice. So Rabbi Yechem Ben Uri obviously held, and all the Amiraim held that it was mutter. By the year 900 already it was asa. So sometime between the year 400 and 900, the minik of kidneys began. Gebrochs was a later minik. So Pam would say that gebrochs is no chamor. And the Eina Ben Yaimi pad of Gebrot, a person could use. Now, you want to know what the Chassidish and Paiskim say? I can't answer you. I'm a problem used to eat Gebrot.
So, they have to wait the whole year and the 12 months.
All right. So, I'm telling you just if someone asked me this, I tell them. Now, that's not my point. My point is, so I tell people, Ben Yaimi is us, Eina Ben Yaimi is not. So, they came with a kasha. Mishnah Berurah Paskins, that kidneys is bottle bereive. That kidneys fell into a taruvis, so it doesn't ask a benais in tam. It's Baltimore. So you'll ask me, Coke, or why are we machmer on the corn syrup? So it's put in deliberately that way, so without makel on somebody that's put in lechadchila. But if it fell in, so kidneys is Baltimore. So they ask that this is a stira. Kidneys is Baltimore. So what's wrong with bleas? The bleas of a pot into the food inside the pot is never more than. The bleas are never more than the food. So the question is, why? What?
You're doing it intentionally.
If you're doing it intentionally, this will be a problem. Okay. We can argue whether that's called mevatlis lechatchila. Okay. Now, this is the question that they asked me. So, what I did is I took out Hilchis Bishalakum, Simi Kuf Yud Gimel. We have there the same apparent contradiction. By we paskin that Bishalakum is batel bereiv. The Shach paskin is that Bishalakum is batel bereiv. We also paskin, it's a machlaikis rishainim, it's a machlaikis the Teres Habayis and the Bedek Habayis, the Rashma and the Ra. If blias are osur or not. If blias, we paskin that blias are aser. So it says if you have a goyish guy in your house, and a guy cooks himself or herself an egg in your pot, so that pot now is treif. From bishalakim, kosher egg, kosher salt, but an egg, there's bishalakim on eggs. So the pot has to be kasher. You have the same kasher. It's never going to be rive in a taruvis. So the shach is masbir that when you cook food in the pot, that's also. He says like this. He says, if the goita cooks for herself in that, well, in something that's not bishalakim. In other words, now you have this treifa pot, bishalakim pot. So now she goes and she takes yesterday's rice and she warms it up in the pot. And a benyana, let's say. She warms it up. So if she warms it up for herself, so then you can take from it. It's already bottled barayv. But what's cooked for a Jew in such a pot is garat fei. What's cooked for a yin in such a pot is going to be awesome, even though it's bottled barayv. I guess it's like someone was saying, that's more like doing ilachatchila. Doing ilachatchila, but the chiddush is that even b'di'avad, that the food is awesome. So it comes out to be feels like an inconsistency. And then ben yoyvei pat of kidneys is going to aser, and kidneys itself in the mixture is not going to aser. It's going to be bottled barayv if it falls in. But nevertheless, that sort of contradiction is the way the halacha plays itself out, both by bishalakum and by kidneys, and by extension by gebrocht as well. If depending on which minhag of gebrocht you go with, as far as gebrocht is concerned. So this is enoch sidim amakpid gebrocht the 8th day of Pesach. And they rely that it's a year. Well, this year it's an ibiyah, it's certainly a year from the last year. This year it's for sure okay. But anyway, you know, in Naharanaro Pashtay, everyone has his own meaning, and each person follows his meaning.
Rabbi Sanchez Kishka, what about quinoa?
So let me tell you the controversy over quinoa. As you know, the OU says quinoa is not kosher to Pesach. Now they say it is, and the Star Case says it's not. Star Case says yes. So it used to be. The way it was, the Star Case said yes, and though you said no. If it changed, it changed. So I'll tell you what the dispute was. It's really a lumdisha dispute. Ramesh has a tshuva about peanuts. Now, peanuts did not exist in countries where Jews lived until after 1492. Because peanuts were an American... when God created the world and put foods in each place, he only put peanuts with the Indians here in America, same thing with turkeys, all in America, and potatoes, corn, real regular corn on the cob, all these things were only on only in the New World. Yeah. So there were no peanuts at the time. The kidneys began sometime during the Middle Ages, in the time of the Gaon. So Ramesha was asked by Rav Don Levi from the OK, whether he can give a hechsher. He had a hechsher on planters at the time. So he wanted to create peanut oil. There's always a problem with oils on Pesach. There's no oil that can satisfy every vayta chumra. So he wanted to make peanut oil. And Ramesha wrote the following. Ramesha said, it depends if your whole kidneyus, the klal is aser. Anything that goes to the rule of kidneyus is aser. Or it's only whatever there was a minig, whatever there wasn't a minig. Ramesha holds that whatever existed at the time of the minig of kidneys is also out of kidneys, and everything else is mutter. He says in the tshuva, unless you know that you already have for many generations a minig to be machmir, then be machmir. But for most people who in America, peanuts, when came from Europe, peanuts were not a big interest. The potatoes were, but not peanuts. So if you don't have a minig, you could use peanuts. So based on that shuva, the Star K was mounted to quinoa. Quinoa certainly is not something that anybody was interested in. If you ever tasted it, you can figure out why. It's I know anytime food is put before me and I'm told it's healthy, I know to put a lot of ketchup, you know. So quinoa was never anybody interested. It was never a minig to abstain from quinoa. And therefore, I think it's from the Oriental countries, is it? What? South America. So wherever it comes from, the point is that according to Rabbi Shish Chuvitz, the reason the OU was machmir, if they changed, I'm not sure why, is because Rebelsky tainted then how can you rely on Rav Moshe's heter? Where for peanuts itself, Klal Yisrael was not makabel. Klal Yisrael was not makabel the heter. Nobody eats peanuts. The peanut oil flopped the first year. They never made again Kosher Pesach Kingdom peanut oil. And nobody eats peanuts. No one eats peanut oil. So how could an organization say peanuts are kidneys? Kidneys, not kidneys. This was the time that I heard from Ravelsky 2 years ago, whenever this whole quinoa thing started. All right, I'm not, I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other. You know, in my house, we're trying to be making a quinoa all year round.
I hope
that's where it comes from. Oil, so you have to know, I went through this one year, there are two schools of thought as to what the best oil. Some people only use schmaltz. In Skver, they only use schmaltz. Some are still, all they use is fats, and that's all they use, and I don't know how much weight they get over Pesach, but that's the thing. They don't use any oil. The tumul over oil is there are two schools of thought as to what the best oil is. If you're not going to use schmaltz, you have to be fleishiks all the time. So there are two choices. One choice is cottonseed oil. And the other choice is what they call specialty oil. Specialty oil is like walnut oil. So you go into the store, you can buy either cottonseed oil or walnut oil. I think those are the two oils they sell today. Or olive oil. So what are its tzedakah? See, each one is 100% kosher al pi din. There's a reason that people don't want to use each one of them. Now, the olive oil they don't want to use because the Dugum Ravav, and this says not to use olive oil. Now, he says not to use olive oil. Apparently, in his day, there was some issue with olive oil. It probably doesn't apply today. So, what? No, it's only the olives. Olive oil is good for shit. So you forgot. The olive oil is good. And I know somebody in our neighborhood years ago when I was a boy who had the Alzheimer's. The beginning of Alzheimer's, the old Sklener Rebbe told him to take a teaspoon or a tablespoon of olive oil every day. He says, because I'll say it's kosher, it's good for shikha. And, he told him to take it. But anyway, there are three oils. There's the olive oil, which people stay away from because they're talking about vava, which again is not mikredin. Then this, the issue in olive oil is that the Navy has said don't use it. Why? Apparently his reasons don't apply today, but that's in his days, there was some shash, the kalim, or the, I don't know the reason. But it had to be his reason. The second thing is cottonseed oil. Now, why are there those who stay away from cottonseed oil? Because there are those who hold that cotton seeds have a din of kidneys. The seeds, they have a din of kidneys. Even though they're not edible by themselves, except for real health freaks who eat the stuff, but they're not really edible. So again, it comes to the old issue of what you consider kidneys. Yerushalayim, they don't allow cottonseed oil because they have a tzak, I think, from the Michas Yitzchak, that cottonseed is a problem. So you're left with the third choice, which is walnut oil or pistachio oil they had 1 year. Oil, now those are specialty oils. Gracie was a totally separate issue, but they don't have it anymore. They tried 1 year. So the specialty oils, they're no problem. Nuts are not kidneys. The problem with specialty oils is there's no plant that makes specialty oils. You have to go to a specialty plant. So there are plants that make cottonseed oil all year round. Plants that make corn oil, soy oil, all these things are made all year round. Canola oil. But the specialty plants make specialty. Now, one of the specialty oils is wheat germ oil, which is chametz. Which means you have to kasher the kalim in order to make walnut oil or the like. Kashering the kalim is extremely difficult. I once heard from somebody who was there, said the machinery that's used to make oil looks like a rocket, like a missile. It's a tall three and a half story thing, machine. You put in the walnuts on one side, you get the oil on the other side. And it has three sections. The middle section is the deodorizer. All the oils, they don't smell like pistachios or something like a cottonseed. There's a deodorizer, which is very hard to kasher. You can't really take it apart. So they kasher it in a way that makes some people nervous. And that's why there are those who stay away from it. Because the kashering is done with certain coolers.
All right,
now you have to remember that Eidah ben Yaimei Keli before Pesach doesn't answer. It's really a chumrah on a chumrah, this whole thing. And each of the three is mutter. And each of the three, it's a chumrin. The difference is the cottonseed oil is a chumrin hilchis kidney is. And walnut oil is a chumrin hilchis chametz. So, you know, you pick which one you want. And they're both 100% mutter. So, what? Because of the wheat germ that chayshish, that it wasn't kasher probably. But it's edamin yayim, and it's not an issue. Now, coconut oil? I'm not aware of coconut oil. I'm sorry. So Kedem tried one year that we're going to corner the market with grapeseed oil, but the grapeseed oil had actually a Yayin Nesek issue, which was much worse than at that time they produced it, and a bunch of Rabbanim got together, put out a letter saying it's also Mikra Adin, and I think they had to sell it to Goyim at the end, and they never tried again with the grapeseed oil. It was a highly debated issue if the grapeseed oil was or was not a Yayin Nesek issue. All right, what? Which oil? Canola oil is kidneyous. It's soy. It's kidneyous. So okay. All right. So we're all ready for Pesach now, right? Okay. Next week, I don't know. You guys can come on next week. If they have Adika, you want to come? So I'll try to put together some Haggadah things. As long as you don't tell it to anybody who's going to be by my Seder.